Thank you for coming, and you need to get at least 50% for a pass. What shapes our brain? Our thoughts. What we see in the world, what we hear in the world, what we feel as emotions and feelings. Throughout our lives, it is our thoughts that influence the way our brain develops. Thinking, using the neocortex, is vital to develop a healthy and righteous Christian life. A short life, but for us a Christian life. It is also essential that we have a right idea of God. So, how can we take care of our brains? Just practical reasons. You need to get enough sleep. You need to eat iron-rich foods. Somebody suggested chocolate and vitamins. Anything else? Iron. What other things? Sport. Don't sit down for too long. You need to keep moving. And what gives us joy? The Lord. Always chocolate. Chocolate is the answer to everything. What gives us joy? What were we doing this morning? Music. Worship. Never stop learning. You must never stop learning. Never too old to learn. Isn't that right, Pascal? It was his birthday the other day. There's some another thing. What's the last thing? What's the last thing? It's more cerebral, this thing. It's to meditate, to reflect on God and on Jesus. The last reminder, what do the different parts of the brain do? There are three different parts of the brain. More chocolate. Different types of chocolate. Uh-huh. There's three parts of the brain. God does wonderful things, Paul said. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. That was Romans 1, verse 20. And King David said, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In Psalm 139, verse 14. Oh, we're all wonderful creations. We're marvelous. Listen and remember all those things which we have find hard to discern for ourselves and which God has created. The different parts of the brain. The cerebellum part that manages our instincts, our primary reactions, the physical heart rate, breathing, body temperature balance. The limbic part, which receives all external information and manages the world inside me.
La partie limbique, c'est la partie rouge.
Well, we're still talking about the limbic part.
Reçoit toute l'information extérieure.
It memorizes pleasant or unpleasant behaviors and is therefore responsible for our emotions. It includes you find three important things. It includes the seahorse, the hippocamp. Well, hippocamp. A seahorse is actually hippocamp in French. The amygdala and the hypothalamus. It is the seat of our value judgments, often unconscious, which have a great influence on our behavior. Our emotions are not supposed to dictate our decisions, but they often do because it's a matter of maturity. The third zone is called the neocortex. This is where language, abstract thinking, imagination, and consciousness develops. It is flexible and has almost infinite learning capacities. Helps us to understand for the whole of our life. Its role is to manage me in the outside world. It has a role of analysis and decision making. God has given us good material. This is what happens when we are afraid. The brain has its own alarm system. God has given us a system of alarm in the brain. It's called amygdala. Amy, for short. Okay, it's called amygdala. We call it Amy for short. Its primary function is to warn everyone that there's danger. Its second function is to call the fire brigade. What's the number for the pompier? Oh, it's 18. Okay, it's 18. Or on your mobile, it's 112. Okay, now we're being told we need to call 15. So, well, there you go. Okay, so if you dial 15, then they will work out whether you need 18 or 112. It is the hypothalamus, we'll call it hippo, that acts as calling 18 for the firemen. The firefighters in our body are the steroids that will make the body act after analysing the situation. Is this a real danger? Must we flee? Or is it a false alarm?
C'est l'été, vous êtes dehors, il fait bien chaud. Et prochaine.
She's giving an example here that you're outside and it's very hot.
Au coin de l'œil, quelque chose de long, rebroussé, arrondi.
It's the summer and you're walking through the forest. It's very hot. Suddenly, out of the corner of your eye, you see something long, dark, grey, and rounded near your feet. Amy, the alarm starts ringing. Adrenaline is produced that draws your attention to the situation. Amy calls on Hippo, the hypothalamus, the fireman who arrives on the scene. What does it feel like? The heart beats faster, the blood pressure rises, you breathe faster, you get a rush of energy because the blood brings a large dose of glucose, sugar, and the blood flows to the muscles, leaving the vital organs. Either you will be able to make an exceptional physical effort and run away, or you will freeze, paralyzed, until the administrator says that the alert has passed. When the shock of fear dominates, when too many firemen arrive on the scene, it paralyzes us. But when the administrator of the brain, the cortex, comes to analyze the situation, makes his report, it was a piece of hose and not a snake. The alarm is stopped, the firemen depart, and your heart resumes its normal rhythm. The blood returns to work in the vital organs, and you continue your walk in the forest. So in a balanced life, all this works well. Incidents create fear in us, but it's really not too often. But in a life where a lot of bad things have happened, the link between Amy and Hippo is confused, and it's more and more of a mess, with Amy who can no longer put order between emotions and reason. She doesn't control security as well as she used to. Do you know what this means for us in reality? We live in fear, in anxiety. We are on the alert, and we misinterpret a lot of things. Worst of all, we end up believing things about God, about ourselves, and about others that are not true. If, for example, I grew up without receiving encouragement, but having heard a lot of criticism, my brain will be formatted to hear criticism from others all the time, and my feelings of inferiority and lack of recognition lead me to believe that I am not loved and therefore that I am not lovable. Feelings of abandonment and fear, the lack of security, dictate my reactions. I always respond defensively, even aggressively. Because I hear criticism and rejection from others. This is not necessarily what the person in front of us had intended, but it is what I heard in my formatted brain. If we live in fear, our emotional center gives out the wrong signals, and our brain creates the wrong circuits. I think I've already told you that the brain keeps developing throughout the whole of our lives. God created us to live in the security of love and trust in Him and with loved ones. It starts with our mum and dad, with our brother and sister, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, my cousin, my friend, my school teacher, my head teacher, and so on. If something breaks that trust or changes the love we have for each other, Amy and Hippo recalled the memory of negative emotion and response to the negative situation, and it's a mess. Lies also create this mess. The wrong things we may believe change the way we react to situations. Here's an example. Edmund's dad loves sports, and he taught his son several sports. Edmund was part of a football team and played every week, but he wasn't really a sportsman. He was rather more inventive, cerebral. He spent hours building machines with his Meccano. His father found him slow and not very proactive in football matches. He gave him a lot of advice in the car on the way to and from the pitch. Edmund heard his father's disappointment and thought he was becoming more and more incompetent. Not even just in sport, but in everything. He locked himself away and didn't make an effort at the games. Eventually, his father took him off the team. In college, Edmund came awake in the technology class. His teacher noticed his skills and encouraged him. Edmund regained confidence, but the best thing that happened to him was that his teacher entered him in a departmental contest that he won. Edmund's dad saw his son in a different light and was proud of him. Their relationship improved because Edmund was freed from the bad image he had of himself. God always works to see us in a just way. His love frees us from our bad opinions of ourselves. Jesus Christ has taken charge of the restoration of our being. When we believe that He has solved the problem of sin, we can reformat our brains so that we can be free from fear and to be able to truly love. The commandments that God has put in place to help us live a healthy and fulfilling life are all based on love. See for yourself. If we put them into practice, we will be at peace with God, with the people around us, and with ourselves. Here are the Ten Commandments in a simplified way from Exodus 20. Have no other God. Don't have idols. Do not take God's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath, a day of rest. Honor your father and your mother. That means to obey. Don't kill, do not kill. Do not commit adultery. You must stay faithful to your wife or your husband. Do not steal. Don't give false testimony. Don't tell lies. And do not covet. Be content with what you have. Do not desire what others have. If we have any things that we feel we don't have, we can ask God. And these are the commandments that the young and the children and the young people learn by heart in Sunday school. Let's read them together. Have no other God, don't have idols, do not take God's name in vain. And it's even summarized to facilitate the work of our memory. What did you notice in this summary? That love for God requires the participation of our whole body and every part of our brain. Emotions, the heart, thoughts, our will, and our ability to decide. And clearly, this commandment is the command to make decisions. What is to be done? Choose to love, and in the right order. First God, and then my neighbor. But if we believe that these commandments take away our freedom or imprison us, we will not want to put them into practice in our lives. The further we move away from the right way of life that God proposes, the more things get confused in our brain and the worse we behave. We make bad choices. We feel bad. The Bible uses the word sin to describe this. The word literally means missing the mark. I have another picture to show you. Who cleans the shower or the bathtub in your house? What do I hate finding there most? I hate finding hair in the shower. I don't know why, but I think it's disgusting. Even if it's clean hair, because it's been washed in soap and water. But I find that really horrible. The water from the shower head goes out down the drain. But hair, soap and shower gel accumulate in the drain and the water can't get out as well. If the plug is too big, the water forms a small pool in the shower tray. Hello. So then what should be done? We need to unclog the drain, remove the hair, let the water out and empty the tray. there you go, the water flows properly again. What if we try a comparison with our brains? Water.
Ce sont les expériences et les pensées qui sont notées par le cerveau et qui passent par les différentes zones de notre tête que j'ai déjà mentionné. D'accord?
Okay. Water represents the experiences and thoughts that are recorded by the brain and pass through the different areas we have mentioned. The hair and the soap that clogs the drain. What do these represent? They represent bad experiences, false beliefs, negative and wrong thoughts, emotional shocks, and disappointments. All those things, you need to remove them. The water that accumulates in the shower tray, this is the effect on the limbic area of the brain where our emotions come from. So too many emotions that risk drowning us, creating a flood in the bathroom. To get out of this situation, we need to remove the hair, that's the cortex thoughts, sort them out, examine, compare, make more accurate links, seek the truth. That has been enlightened by the Spirit of God. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Pay attention to all that is good and worthy of praise, to all that is true, respectable, just, pure, pleasing and honourable. Put into practice what you have learned and received from me, Paul, what you have heard me say and seen me do, and the God who grants peace will be with you. The peace of God. We all need to breathe in peace of God into our lives, our hearts, our minds. Put into practice what you have learnt. That's more when we're adult. An important point, we often say in our worship services, in our evangelical language, that the Spirit of God lives in our hearts. We ask Him to come upon us, to take His rightful place in us, to fill us. It is very good to invite Him to accompany us in our lives, because it means that we open ourselves to His influence. In other words, we give permission to the Spirit of God to act in us. On a more scientific side, the Spirit of God works in the neocortex, in the part that reflects, sorts, examines, compares, makes better connections, and seeks the truth, etc. When we read the Bible, we can invite the Holy Spirit to help us to reflect, to sort, to examine, compare, make better connections between God's will and our decisions, to seek the truth, and then to reveal the truth about a situation or an attitude that I may have. When we listen to the message or studies about God, when we read something, an article, a testimony, or when we listen to a Christian song, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us reflect, sort, examine, compare, make more accurate connections between God's will and our decisions, and to seek the truth. Praise is also important in our Christian life. It works on the limbic part of the emotions, as well as the cortex part that discerns the things of God. When the cortex makes the healthy connections between God's character, truth, justice, and the meaning of His love for us, it has an effect on our emotions. It touches us deep within ourselves, and we feel a lot of emotion. And do you know what helps us a lot? To do all of this in groups. We are called to walk this path of faith with others. We have different perspectives, different experiences and knowledge that inform our perception of God. Put all this together, it is a richness. Our differences stimulate our reflection and can be a way in which God challenges us on a subject. In our church, we have about 30 groups, including a Bible study, 5 house groups, prayer groups, teams that serve in many areas, a growing group of children, and a great youth group. God has given us good material. If you feel that you want more information about these things, go and see Pascal. Yes, God has given us good material. Our brains are a real marvel, able to understand the things of God, able to help us be more and more intimate with God. Destined to help us navigate this world and blossom in the security of His love. Amen. The people in Australia gave her some money for our church, and she wants to see how the young people would like to spend it. So she wants the young people to go and see her after the end of the service. We're going to sing this next.